This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. So, last week at a hearing for a class action lawsuit, a US District Judge, Lucy Koh, said that she's essentially disturbed by Google's data collection practices.
So this story, I must say, did shake me a little bit because it gets to the core of this idea of Google private browsing, right? Where you go into incognito mode and the idea being that no one is tracking what you're searching for. Unfortunately, this particular class action suit says that that private browsing is quote unquote a ruse. And the lawsuit is actually seeking to obtain $5,000 for each of the millions of people who have had their privacy, they say, at risk since June 2016.
So essentially, this comes down to what is being tracked and with whom, right? So basically, if you search incognito, what it's supposed to, I think most people take it to mean that you are incognito for all intents and purposes, but what it actually entails is that other people using the computer after you will not be able to see what you've searched. And it doesn't actually mean that Google and that internet service providers will not have that access. And I think that that has really frightened people. And again, this is coming on top of a long list, a laundry list, in fact, of Google facing legal issues, not this, but for a variety of things. But we wanted to focus on the privacy because that's something we talk about a lot. And we want to know what you think. How often do you use Google incognito browsing or going private when you browse? How do you feel about knowing that actually you don't have that much privacy? You don't have as much privacy as you think. We are going to be speaking now on the line with us, Swaran Singh, partner at Law Partnership. Swaran, thank you so much for joining us. So to start off, could you give us a quick explanation of what it means to browse incognito?
Sure. Hi. Well, when it comes to talking about how browsing incognito happens, or stealth browsing, or private browsing, as they call them in other sites, so different browsers have a different name for it, and all of them have got this, they call it the private browsing method. For us to understand what incognito means, we need to, of course, I think, understand, first of all, what does it mean when it comes to what kind of information is collected in a regular browsing situation. So ordinarily, the impression given by the browsing companies is that when you go into incognito, none of your data will be kept, none of the information activity will be looked at or observed or followed by anyone. That is the overall impression people have of an incognito or private browsing. But then that necessarily may not be the case. The reality could be different from what people think. So in a regular browsing sort of a scenario, you will have the various browsers that will store addresses of the sites that you go to, your history is kept, the cookies for each website that you go to, depending on the intensity of what they're observing, will track your activity. They'll also, for example, keep track of your passwords that you use, subject to your consent, of course. And most of the time, the temporary files you've downloaded, all of that is kept in a regular browsing situation. And when you go into the incognito mode, some of these things are not kept as usually done in the regular browsing, but it's not necessarily the case that none of the other activities that happen are not being tracked.
So what information does Google store from a person's browsing activity?
So when you have giants like Google or even Facebook, what they tend to store would be, for instance, because most of the time people these days, when they go into a Chrome site, they normally would have a Gmail account and they sign in the Gmail account. And all of a sudden, everything that you had done previously all gets synced up. So now they allow you to sync across devices, across various tablets and other laptops. So when that happens, Google, and the moment you sign into your activity, Google keeps track of where you go, what you have searched for, what is the most looked for item in your shopping list, which are your preferred sites, which would be, for example, your favorite browsing hours of the day, what are the passwords you have used for different sites that you go to, and therefore you don't need to remember the password. So in that sense, there is some level of convenience that's built into the browsing history in a regular browsing mode situation, where people actually look forward to not having to remember login for the various sites that they go to and whatnot. And so the moment they sign out of that, all that will not be kept in track. But when you go into the private incognito, some of these things are not kept by Google, but at the same time, they also sort of make it clear that there will be some instances when in the information that is kept by them will be kept regardless of it being incognito. So, for example, when you go into incognito mode or private browsing mode and you go to a certain site, what happens in that site, all that is not incognito anymore. So if you sign up to a Gmail account in incognito mode, they are keeping track of what you do there because you've signed up, even though it's in a private browsing. And, for example, if you visit a certain website, those websites are not informed you are in private browsing mode. So, for example, you are on incognito in Chrome, but the site that you go to will not know you are incognito. So they will not know you're in private browsing mode. So they will then do what they will do ordinarily, which is, you know, observe where you go, what you do. And if you're part of an employment server situation, or you are in a school, or you are in a bigger establishment, so if you are browsing using their systems, the system administrator of that school, the university, your employer's system administrator, tech department, they can see which sites you're going and what you've been doing there. They can track you still. So incognito does not protect you from that. And of course, the internet service provider for every particular country, they are also not immune from private browsing. They can still see where you go and what you do. So there are limitations to private browsing. It is not a situation where you go in there and you think no one is watching, no one is looking, no one is collecting. That's not the true case.
So, Soren, what are the implications of having our data collected even when browsing privately?
The implications are that if you are private browsing, the amount of information that is collected of you would not be as widespread as it would be in a regular browsing. So, and looking at the terms and conditions of most of the browsers out there, they do make it clear, of course people don't read it. They do say what activities will still be visible and what activities won't be, you know, saved or visible. So, for example, they do say that, you know, the website that you go to can see what you're doing. So if you happen to go to, you're in incognito mode in Chrome, and you happen to go into a Google website, they can still see what you're doing, what searches are you doing, and they can still target you with ads during that period of browsing. They can still see in that sense. The employers can still observe you. So implications would be you're still being watched. Some information is being collected, but not to the large extent as you would in regular browsing. The question is then going into, you know, how then do you, if regular browsing is exposing us to all that data miners and private browsing is not necessarily private, what would be, you know, how do you then go browsing with a safe, you know, with a peace of mind without having to worry about data miners out there? I mean, what people tend to do would be to go to the next level, which is to have a virtual private network, VPNs. And those are not cheap, those cost money. And there are many VPNs out there. Based on the how much you pay for them, you can get the highest quality, of course. And VPNs would be, of course, one step closer to having an almost anonymous browsing experience, because you are then preventing anyone else from observing what would be your... They're able to sort of lock out your internet, internet connection that you're on is encrypted, right? And it prevents anyone from intercepting that data. So in that sense, VPN becomes a safer route. And also, another thing would be there are lots of sort of malwares and spywares that could be sitting in your computer which you may not be aware of. And these things operate even with VPN because they sort of keep track of the keys that you have typed or the places you've gone to. They keep track of all your passwords and whatever keys you have keyed in. So I would say to be absolutely safe, of course there's no guarantee, but to be safer, having a VPN system is one method, but then at the same time ensuring that you do constant virus scanning to ensure that there's no malware or spyware sitting in your laptop or your device would be another way to ensure that both of these potential ways of attacking observing your browsing history is minimized and kept to that level. Yes, that would be how I would go about it.
So the story has emerged partly because of a class action lawsuit that's been brought against Google. Do you ever see something like this happening here in Malaysia, especially in terms of how we relate to internet giants and our privacy?
To my mind, I feel that the Malaysian, if I were to hazard a guess, I would say the fact is, looking at the case that's going on right now, the Google Incognito case, and how Judge Lucy Koh is reacting, to my mind, what Google has said on their Incognito browser, it has already said what can be collected, what cannot be collected, right? So they've put that statement out clear, and looking at the position taken by the Google's lawyers, they've also indicated the same, to say that we made it very clear what can and cannot be collected, what can Incognito service provide you, and that has been made quite transparent. So in that sense, if you are aware of it and this has been made known to you and you still go down and use that service, then obviously you're going in there with your eyes wide open. What will be curious and interesting would be to find out, besides information that Google said it will collect or is unable to collect, what else is Google in reality able to collect? So for example, when they say we're not able to, for example, view your browsing history, we will not save the cookies, we will not be, whatever forms if you entered, we will not be able to see what you have said in those forms. If all of that is something that they say they're not able to collect or see, but in reality they're able to have a hybrid of that, for example. Let's say they're able to access some level of a browsing history, for instance, if you go to a Google site, and then they can say, oh, you're incognito, but the fact is we sort of know you. You've been to our Google sites before and we can see what you're doing. So they're able to make that connection and still, based on that, recognize that the incognito person is person identified as XYZ. So that is going to be a violation to my mind. But are they actually doing that or they're not? That is yet to be seen. Looking at the case, there's very little evidence that has been discussed in the news outlets. So it would be good to find out, upon maybe an independent inquiry, what kind of information Google actually is able to save and keep in the incognito mode, and is that consistent with their policy on private browsing. If it is, then to my mind, they've done nothing wrong, but if they're able to see more than that, then that would be an issue.
Soren, thanks for speaking with us. That was Soren Singh, partner at Law Partnership. Just very briefly, we have Abby saying, incognito mode was to keep your searches private from other users. It was never meant to keep it from Google's prying eyes. It's just a case of misunderstood use by users. Never in my life did I believe Google will leave me alone in my online activities. So there you go.
I feel like Abby had a lot more of a clear vision about this than I did.
I suspect that is the case for very many people. All right, we are just about to head on to the 7:30 news. And then after that, the brand new premiere of a new show. Sharmila, do you want to tell us about it?
Yes, so it's called Everyone's a Critic, and it's basically going to be an arts review show where hopefully for the foreseeable future, we'll be reviewing and discussing, critiquing various arts-related works, local mostly, but international as and when we have access to them. And today we have a dance film by ASK Dance Company, and I will be reviewing that with Bilkis Hijaz, who is a dance producer, of course. The film is called The Distance Project, Hymns of the Abandoned, and it's a really interesting one because it was made during the pandemic, really, and it was filmed in an abandoned house in Subang Jaya. Really quite a beautiful project, so do stay tuned for that, and you can watch that for free on YouTube, which is always something nice in this day and age when we all want something to do.
So that is the first episode, the very first one of Everyone's a Critic. It will be coming your way every Monday at 7:30. Do let us know what you think. Do share your thoughts with us. As always, our lines remain open. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can, of course, also tweet us at BFM Radio. That will be coming your way after the 7:30 news. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.